And good morning, Trinity Church. I am Pastor Jeff Gangle. And in case you need to know how to spell my name in Russian, I have it right here on my little name tag from our trip. Beth and I were privileged to go with our Trinity team to Poland. You say, wait, this was a group from Belarus. Why are we in Poland? I'm going to get to that. Let me explain the whole thing. How did it start? Boy, I wish you could have heard this morning the songs that we sang. Wish you could have heard them being sung in Russian, as we did that week we were at this English camp. It was a little over a year ago, and I was following up on one of the visitor cards, guest cards from here at Trinity. A couple that started coming to Trinity filled out a card, and as I often do, I'll call and contact people who've visited Trinity, and so I was on the phone, this guy named Bert. And so I'll usually ask a lot of questions, tell me about yourself, tell me about your background, tell me about your family. And so in the process, he told me that he and his wife had been involved with a pastor and a ministry in Belarus. And I always love hearing those kind of stories, mission stories, evangelism stories, people who have a heart for the world. And so we talked more about that. Well, time went on through last fall. We had a few more conversations, and God began speaking to my heart, saying, you need to be a part of this. Trinity needs to be a part of this. And so by January, I had taken this idea. Bert and Kim were pretty much already planning. They were going to do something with this church in Belarus. And they said, if Trinity wants to come alongside, we'd love for folks to join us. So I took it to our missions team, and I said, well, here's the thought. Here's the plan. I don't know anything about it. I've never met this guy, Pastor Slava. I don't know who he is other than through Bert and Kim. And I've never been there, but I think God is at work in this, and I think God wants us to do something with this. And our missions committee listened and prayed and agreed and supported. And you supported as well. As we put this out to the church last winter and through the spring, you came along board, you gave, and we went. And so let me give you just an overview of what happened, then I'm going to introduce the team and let them tell you about the week. So the reason we ended up in Poland is that this church in Minsk, which is the capital of Belarus, has a ministry just really new, just Pastor Slava, just less than a year old, the church is in Minsk, right? So he and his wife and a group of people are planning this church in the city of Minsk, and they know that one of the ways that they can reach people who are not churched, who don't know the Lord Jesus, is through this medium of English, teaching English. And so they arranged this trip. It's also, to leave the country is also a draw for people from Belarus. So a trip to this camp in Poland to spend a week learning English, knowing it was organized by a church, organized knowing that they were going to be hearing about the Bible, hearing about the Lord, but also knowing they were going to be learning their English better. Did I say that right? English better? When you're talking about English classes, you really should speak good English, right? This is why I almost didn't go on the trip, because of... So, they recruited people from their city, relationship that they'd built, people they had gotten to know, and they brought them by bus. And we brought our team of 8 from North Georgia to meet them in Poland. And the place they found is a ministry there. It's a 500-year-old palace, a castle kind of thing. And there was room to accommodate the whole group. There were how many? 40, 45 from your group, Slava? About 40, 45 that they brought, our 8 added to that. And we, each day, then we would... This is kind of our pattern. So we would get up in the morning, our team would meet. They had a team from their church, and so we'd meet with their team. They had planned a lot of these activities. They had planned the meals and so on. And so we would meet and plan out our day and pray for our day. And then we'd go to breakfast, have breakfast all together, our team with the group from Belarus. Then we would go and have a worship service, so worship singing and time together, a break. And then we would teach English for 2 hours every day, right in the middle of the day. The afternoon, there was some rest time, and then games or activities, something gathered, planned that everybody would come around. And after dinner would be the whole evening, essentially, was then another worship service, speaking, preaching the gospel, and then discussion groups that would follow that time. And our goal throughout the whole week was to teach English, but it was also to build relationships with that group from Belarus. Some of them were beginners in English, some medium, intermediate in English, some are more advanced in their English. There were about three or four or five who could translate, and so if we needed to have a conversation, people would come up, just jump into the conversation. The service is going on in Russian, and they're translating in English. We're speaking in English, and they're translating in Russian. It was amazing just to see how God was using every aspect of that week to build those relationships. And so I want you to meet our team. And then we're going to introduce Pastor Slava and his wife, Alina, who are here this week, and representing that church in Minsk. So the group that came, Bert and Kim, I mentioned already, Bert and Kim Boudet, they're going to come. They were our group leaders. They did the planning. They did the organizing. They got the tickets. They've been there before, so they knew how to put this trip together. So thankful that God brought them here to Trinity to help organize this group and this mission trip. And then Kaylee Caudill, and Deanna and Janet Kluke, and Marcia No. Now, Marcia.
Rhonda.
Yeah, good to meet you, Rhonda.
Nice to meet
you, brother. Rhonda, you won't recognize because I'm going to stand over here so I'm not in your way of everybody. And because she is not a part of Trinity, but knew Bert and Kim. And so they recruited Rhonda to join our team, be part of it. And Rhonda was kind of our key person. About 2 days into the week, Rhonda realized that we had a whole crew that were there to run the kitchen and to cook the food for the camp that come along just for that purpose. And so they were not able to be in the English classes because they went on the same time. Oh, and my wife Beth also came along. This is my wife, Marcia, right over here. Here. So about 2 days into it, Rhonda realized this whole crew, they don't get to come to our English classes because they're preparing lunch at the same time we're doing these classes. And so she said, why don't we just come after they're done with lunch? We've got some free time in the afternoon. We'll come and do an English class just for the cooking team. And they were so appreciative. So they loved it, every minute of it. And so a number of the team members jumped in and helped with that. And so I wanted you to hear from each of them just briefly. So every person on the team has chosen one thing from the week that was special to them, one thing that was particularly meaningful. So we're just going to pass the mic right down the row and let them each share for a moment here. I'm going to make sure I get this mic on. There you go. Deanna.
Hi, I was asked to share something, and this is what God laid on my heart to share, so here it goes. When I heard about the mission trip, I knew God was working out the details for Janet, my daughter, to go. This is something she's wanted to do for so many years, but honestly, I wanted to experience this with her, but I wasn't sure if I was doing it for the right reason. The amount of money we had to raise for both of us was scary, to say the least, and honestly, I didn't think we could do it, but Kim kept telling us God provide the money, and it would do it probably in the most unexpected ways. As I kept doubting if I was really going for the right reason, I heard God clearly say, why wouldn't you go and tell others about me and my love? Well, I guess that was pretty clear. I was supposed to go. But then the money came to my mind. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So I figured if the money didn't come from both of us, at least Janet could go. And then, lo and behold, God provided the money for all of us well far in advance. So there goes that excuse. Satan had a couple more attempts before the trip to discourage me and for all of us for that matter, but I kept remembering what God told me and that he already provided the money. So with the daily struggles, God kept bringing scriptures to me like John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So I kept moving forward. And that was the key. Keep moving forward if you know God is in it. And thank God I kept moving forward because the experience was such a blessing for me. I saw how God provided for our team spiritually and physically. I witnessed people from another country having the same basic need in their everyday lives and having the same spiritual need of God as their Savior. We were able to talk with them, teach them English, make friendships, and share God's love. The days were long and we were all exhausted, but it was so worth it. We are all the same in God's eyes. God loves everyone in this world and wants us all with him for eternity. Our job is to show and share his love so others might be with him forever also. So thank you, church, for your financial support and your prayers and allowing us to go.
Amen.
Hey, I just want to say thank you first for everyone who prayed for our team and who supported us. It was such a blessing, and it was so amazing to see God at every spot. I mean, from the funding, and God said, just trust me. And so it was just really amazing to see that. I want to say that if you go on a trip, if you find yourself lonely, no matter where you are in your life, find your people, because that's what I did. I found my people. We took a field trip to the Czech Republic, and I was privileged to sit next to one of the ladies from the kitchen. And we are in the same stage of life. All of us have the same older children, and probably 40s and 50s, all the ladies in the kitchen. And I was able to build relationship with them. And then when we got to Czech Republic, they started distributing food. They had been up almost all, well, it seemed to me, very, very early to prepare our breakfast, but they also prepared everybody's lunch and had it packed up for us. And that was tremendous, because we had, 60 people in our camp that they took care of. And so I was just really touched by that. And I asked them, I said, could you join our English camp? And they said, we don't know. I said, well, we'll find out. And so we were able to provide another camp for them, just to accommodate the kitchen ladies. And it was so wonderful being a part of their lives. And it just added another layer of richness to the camp. So find your people. The body of Christ spans the globe. People abroad need our love, and they need our care, and they need our prayers. They need us to love on them. So I just encourage you to find a missionary that you can write to, find a church overseas that you can write to, and just encourage, because they need our encouragement. And one another thing that I realized, that every day I poured myself out 100%, physically, spiritually, emotionally, poured out myself 100%. And I thought, my family deserves that. My church deserves that. So I just encourage you to just to be mindful of the fact that you go overseas and you pour yourselves out. Why not for your family? Your family deserves it too. It brought refocus and repurpose to my life as a Christian. I've been a Christian my whole life. But this, I turned 50 over the summer, and it just amazing how even that you can still repurpose and find a purpose and refocus your life on Christ. And every day go on a mission trip. Get up in the morning and say, God, what's my mission today? Who am I going to minister to? Because he's going to give you somebody, I promise, if you pray about that. Thank you.
Something that majorly impacted me was the people. I got to meet so many friendly and energized people. After the first day, I already made relationships. I didn't know anybody. We got up in the morning, we already went to our first activity in the nearby town. Like the next several days, we did bonfires and we played games, played capture the flag, we did morning exercise, and then we played water games and many other games, and I began to grow relationships with so many incredible people. I was able to learn their passions and their careers and just more about them and what they love to do. One evening, we had dinner by the fire, and I was able to share my testimony with a very special friend. She related with me of how you can feel alone and unsure about your faith. I came to know later that she was not saved. I believe God used me in that moment of sharing my testimony to plant a seed in her. As the week continued, we had a go-away party that night, and I got the opportunity to teach them some dances. We stayed up till 1:30 in the morning dancing. And the day we left, I gave my Bible to the girl I got to share my testimony with. I was so impacted by the people, and leaving was very hard for me. The next several days, I was getting texts from them, and it made me so happy but so sad that I was not with them. This trip for me has been one of the best trips of my life, and I hope that I will be able to return very soon. Thank you for your prayers and support.
I never imagined I'd be able to experience an overseas missions trip. The Lord opened a door for me to be able to go. Then he continued opening doors that allowed me to step out of my comfort zone. My personality is one that likes to be prepared and know what to expect, but that wasn't the case with this trip. For me, this trip was partly about giving God control. From the moment of stepping on a plane for the very first time, to traveling 4,800 miles overseas, to trusting him with the language barrier, and believing God actually had a plan for me. In my mind, the whole trip was a miraculous move of God on my life. While ministering to the group of Belarusians, I connected with a girl who seemed lonely and struggled greatly with acceptance. She always thought she needed to give something back when others helped her. On the very first day we were there, she told me, "You teach me English, and I'll teach you Russian." I think she was a much better English student than I was Russian. On the last day, I gave that girl my Bible. She was very moved and even told me she couldn't understand why she would deserve such a precious gift. I'm still able to communicate with this girl through Instagram, which helps translate for us. One day after the trip, I sent her a message that I was praying for her, and she answered, "Why would you pray for me? Why do I deserve that?" I've been trying to encourage her with scripture and point her back to the Bible to show her how God loves her and truly has a plan for her life.
Good morning, Trinity. So you've heard about the trip part, and probably you'll hear a little bit more from Kim and Bert, but I'd like to tell you just a moment about the team itself that you sent, the group dynamics. Ahead of time, we prayed for fruit and for health and for safety and for good ministry and harvest and influence and clarity in our English classes, just, you know, kingdom work. But God added on working within the group itself. Won't go into great detail, but pre-trip, so some of the things that we planned ahead of time were how we would divide up to teach the English classes so that we would be most effective in our teaching ministry. And Janet and I were teamed up together. We got out there, and I knew she hadn't been feeling well. So I jumped into what I love to do, and I become protective. Some people call that mothering. It's just protective mode. And so I didn't want to strain her. I knew, you know, it wasn't 100% every moment of the day. So I wanted to protect her. A couple days in, Bert, being a great leader, came into me, as any good leader should, and challenged me. Page 2. Challenged me to use her gifting more and to allow her to push forward at her pace, not my pace. I just want to honor Bert for being such a great leader and seeing that, and for Janet for pushing forward and moving into group work, which she did an amazing job. She worked in the group in her gifting. Which, ask her what that is. It's amazing, and it is not my gifting. And she did an incredible job. So I want to read to you something in Psalm 133, which is a stamp of approval from God in regards to our teamwork. Psalm 133 says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as anointing oil. And there, the Lord has promised and pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting." And that also comes from Jesus' words in John 13. Hold this for me. John 13, he says, "Your love for one another, this teamwork that we had, our love for each other, Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. I think our teamwork was such a draw for kingdom, and the Lord answered those prayers. Thank you so much.
My most memorable event was the very last night. The team actually had the campers and Slava's team had a going away thank you party for the Americans, and they each took time to thank us in their way and tell us what was special about the week. And Slava actually stood up and shared with them that that our church had been praying for every single one of them by name. And I can't tell you, looking around to all the campers, the impact that that made on them. And many of them were not believers, but I can tell you their eyes and their hearts were opened to these Americans coming over there that we didn't even know them, that we would take the time to love them enough to pray for them by name. So thank you not only for your financial gifts, but that amazing power of prayer that you gave so graciously. Thank you.
Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, I would like to say two things. And one is that Kaylee here, she said it was the first time she'd ever been on a plane, and then we took her over to Eastern Europe. And so I thank Casey and Charles for their faith to let their daughter go with us. But the other thing that I love seeing about mission trips like this is the life change not only for the Belarusians, but also for the team, as you're beginning to see. And Kaylee, she had a very special blessing. An anonymous donor and his wife came up to me and said, we want her to go on the mission trip. And they wrote the check for her to go and paid for her entire way to go on the mission trip. And that continues to be a blessing to me for this couple and the life change that we see in Kaylee as an 18-year-old, about ready to start college tomorrow, and that change. So that was really good. As far as a camper goes, Kim and I, we've worked with troubled youth for decades in Forsyth County. And within 5 minutes of speaking to this one young lady, she's 25 years old, she just looked at me, little tiny lady, and she just looked at me and she said, I'm the saddest person in all the world. And then, because of our experience, we began to see the very typical signs that we see working with troubled youth of probably physical and sexual abuse. And I wanted her so bad to know the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And this lady continues to be on my mind. I think the whole team knows who I'm talking about. But she continues to be on my mind as Slava and Alina continue to try to minister to this poor girl who has lost hope in a very difficult situation. And so Jesus is real, and Jesus changes people's lives. And that's where we're going. So with that, I'm going to ask Slava and Alina if you'll come up. Now I know I'm going to answer the most obvious question that everybody's probably thinking, and no, Slava and I are not twins. Why are you laughing? So Slava, we were trying to figure out the other day, when did we meet? And it was probably 6 or 7 years ago, right after Slava and Alina got married. And immediately God just put them on Kim and my heart. We know his dad, we know his mom, we know his brother and his two sisters. Just a godly family. And I was talking to Slava, got the chance, Slava and Lee spent the night with us last night. And we're sitting out on the back deck just having a nice conversation, and this passion in Slava's eyes. And I was so excited for Jason's comments this morning. Because Slava says, I keep challenging the people in my church that I don't want other church members to come to our church. I want the unchurched. And he's saying to his team, you know, if you're going to go out and get coffee, go invite a non-Christian out. And it really happens, especially in his country, less than 1% of the population is evangelical Christian. Less than 1%, right? And so that's what Slava's doing. I still remember the day when he FaceTimed me or Skyped me, and he said, I can't believe it, Andre's coming. He was so excited that his friend, we would say Andrew, they say Andre, that Andre was coming to camp. And he was just thrilled. And then the other thing, the other conversation we had is Slava, he moved from a smaller town in Belarus called Babrusk, started a church there, grew up a young man as pastor, handed the church off to him, He started the church in Minsk, him and Alina, and they got up there, and it's only been a year, and last night he's talking to me like, I think I might have the person who could take over the church so he can go somewhere else so others can know about Jesus Christ. So we've asked Slava to let us know a little bit about Reconciliation Church that he has in Minsk. And what a blessing to have Slava and Lena. Slava's my friend. Alina's my friend. So.
What are we going to say now, man? Just crying? In the camp, I was saying that I wish everyone have Bert in his life. It's so encouraging to know people who love you and pray for you, encourage you. So my name is Slava, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm very... yeah, it was crazy. Thanks God we arrived. I want to share about camp, but I can't start with the camp. I should start earlier, because camp for us is kind of final destination of our 2 years work in Minsk. So 2 years ago, me and my wife, we moved to Minsk to plant a church. We really believe that God called us to go and plant a church. And the other family joined us. So two families, we moved to Minsk, and we started to pray. For us, it's a big challenge. And just one thing I wanted to tell you about church planting in Belarus. It's very hard to plant a church, not because there is no people or there is no money, because our government and Orthodox Church not allowed us to meet and have permission to meet. So even now we are not legal church, we don't have enough registration. We call it registration, you know, like paper that allowed you to meet. So, but anyway, God provided us a place to meet, and from the last October we do this. So we moved to Minsk. I don't know any non-Christian guy in Minsk almost. And we start to pray and we think about how we can reach these people here. And Minsk is a huge city. It's almost 3 million people living there. And there was questioning myself. I was questioning myself, like, Slava, do you think you're the smarter guy? You come over here now, everyone will come to a church. There's a lot of new churches just planted. There's bright leaders and awesome people, and they have registration in place to meet, and they not really growing, and you think you will come right now, and you think you will find a place to rent where you can meet. All this questioning myself, and just, I have one answer. If God called me to go there, he will provide all things. And he really did it. So me and my wife joined the English courses, Christian English courses that in Minsk twice a year, 5 days summer and 5 days winter time. And during the summer, during these 5 days, about 2,000 people going through these English courses. There is a big need of Christian who will join and build relationship with these people. And like this guy, Pasha or Andrew, sometimes, like Andrew, he was first guy I met in Minsk, and he was kind of aggressively against the church and Christianity, and he don't want to talk about it. And then I just decide, okay, I will call him. I call him, I dial, and say, hey, let's meet for coffee. And he says to me, why two men's gonna meet for coffee? Well, maybe we can talk, you know. So finally he said, okay, let's do that. We meet for coffee, and 4 hours he shared me about how he's struggling with his family. I don't know why he's doing that. So now Andrew, he attend the home group every week, he attend the camp, and he's really interesting about Jesus. And he encouraged me so much, and Bert, he was really impressed that he's non-believers because he's so careful about people, helping people, serve people a lot. So he very excited about this camp. So this camp, we have about 18 non-Christian people who was in this camp. Totally with all people and stuff, it was 58 people. And 18 of them, they don't know Christ. 15 of them is our friends that we build relationship with my wife during these 2 years in Minsk. So for us, it was really God's answer that all of them, they say yes. Because all our other team who tried to invite their friends, none of them joined the camp. And I don't know why. And I keep encouraging people I say to them, you don't have to be create something new program to reach out people. Just take your phone and look if there any name, non-Christian guy, you can call for coffee. That's all you can do. And just don't make this separation, Christian and non-Christian. If you have a birthday, invite your friend. If you go for party, take your friend. That's all. Just take them, bring them to your life so they can see your life. And I have a short video about our church. So you can see the first Sunday service, new church plant in October. You can see the couple interviews we made when there was a hockey player, David Booth, and his wife in Minsk, and we get to know them. They're Christian, so we decided to make interview with them and also invite people from English courses to this event. And then we have a new one lady. She is Miss Ukraine. She was Miss Ukraine, and we invite her to make an interview for girls with her. So there's a couple events. In the end of the video, there will be a little bit more short video about camp. And then I will add a couple more sentences. Thanks. Some people start to attend the church just after the camp. Some of them already joined the home group. Our home group, we started with 6 people in October, and in May it was 18 people, and half of them non-Christian, and almost all of them was in this English camp. And I keep receive the messages how people impressed by American team. And I can tell you, the American team make more than I can even expect, like more than 100%. They was, like Rhonda says, they will give like everything. They was working with the cooks, they will serve to people, and I can tell you that our friends who attend a lot of intensive English courses with the native speakers, they says to me that was the best English they ever have, because classes was so good and so really intensive, so they really learn English, and they say it was really English camp. So they very love English, they very love atmosphere, and like Bert says, there was an evening when everyone says something about American team, and Andrew come after, he stood up and say in English something to the American team, and then Andrew come to me and he's like, I didn't say everything. Why is he speaking English? I should speak in Russian so I can say more than I want. He's so, I say, just come to them and say more if you want. You know, he was so many words he wanted to say, but he couldn't in English. So, and he's like, I want to say more, I want to say more. That's how he was impressed. So, and Pasha, the other non-Christian guy, he come to the Sunday service, and he comes to me and says, man, I want to go to this camp again. I so love it. And he was, his eyes was like, you know, shining. He's like, I really want this atmosphere. I want to know these people more. I want to be with you. And that was really, like, I've been praying for him a couple of years. And Pasha, we knew him through our business. He helped us with the business a little bit. So we've been praying for him, and he was in the camp with his wife. And this was just awesome. We have a lot of good conversation. So I just want to say thank you for your church. And for me, I already tell this to Jeff, how impressed am I that Jeff don't really know really well Barrett. Jeff didn't know really me, and he decided to go. For me, it was really something, some unusual. I was so impressed by that. And I'm very thankful that you take being brave and generous to go and help us to work with these non-Christian people, help us to grow our church in Belarus. And so we're very encouraged about what you're doing with us, and we really want you to see us again next year, and because we already have a lot of people want to go again, and and new people, he say, oh yeah, we want to go, because they heard a lot of good response from that. So I hope next camp will be bigger and better, and it's hard to imagine better, but just again, so we'll be glad to see you, and welcome to Belarus, welcome to Poland. Yeah, I hope it will be a great time together again. So welcome, and thank you very much for help us. Thanks.
Amen. Stay right here for a second. So we want to just take a moment and pray. pray for Slava and Alina, I'm going to ask our team, come on up, team. I want you just to surround them as we pray for them. And I know you all are joining us. In fact, I'm going to ask, would you just stand right where you are and join us in prayer for Slava and Alina and for their church and for the relationships that were forged and have continued to be forged over these months since and will continue to be from here on out. Let's pray together. Our Lord God, we thank you for this young couple that you've raised up and called to ministry, knowing it's not always easy. They have experienced numerous challenges already. Lord, even just to be in a country where there's not the same freedom that we know and experience and take for granted here, Lord, I pray that you would give them just great freedom, though, of your spirit, freedom in their sharing, opportunities in relationship building. I pray that through Slava and Alina, their team, as you raise up more believers in their church and in their city, that the message, the gospel, would just continue to go out, the good news of what you have done to save us from our sin. And I thank you for their boldness and commitment to not only start a church, but to reach people who desperately need a Savior. And so I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to watch over them, care for them, provide for them and for their church, bring them people who will be able to lead and serve and minister alongside of them. Lord, give them your encouragement every single day. And we, as this team that got the chance to work with them for a week, just pray for those relationships that were built and will continue to grow. I pray that you would continue to sow the seed of the gospel in those lives and that you would draw them to you. For Pasha, for Andrew, for those other 18 who were there at the camp, Lord, I pray that what they heard, the good news that they heard, would just continue to gnaw at them, their need for a Savior, and that you would draw them to yourself. Lord, all this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. As the last thing of part of our service today and part of our celebration of what God did that week, I want to share with you a parable. A parable from the Bible that I got the opportunity to share with the group there at the English camp. While we were there, Slava graciously gave me the opportunity to speak. And so with an interpreter by my side, I decided, well, let's go to this parable of the great banquet. It's a beautiful story that Jesus told about God's invitation to his banquet in heaven. And so as we did that, I decided, you know, we really needed to do this in a way that would make it visible, to try to get past some of the language barrier and need for interpretation, and let's just demonstrate it while we talk about it. And so the team jumped on board, said, okay, we'll do it. Tell us what to do. Give us a part. Give us a role to play. And so I thought if they did it there, they should do that here this morning too. So we're going to give you a little taste of what we did and how we presented this parable, and then I want to apply it just a little bit different way than we did with the group. You'll understand that as soon as you hear the parable. I want to read this from Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 15. The words will be on the screen, but watch this played out, lived out for you in living color here this morning. When one of those at the table heard him say this, Jesus said, "Blessed is the one who will..." He said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, here's the parable. A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, saying, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all began to make excuses. The first one said, "I've just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, and I cannot come." The servant went back and reported this to the master, and the owner of the house became angry and upset and ordered his servant Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. The poor, the lame. There's one. And still there was room. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, and yet still there is room. The master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. There's still room. Compel them to come in. And so the master helped as well. And then the master said, I tell you the truth, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Thank you, everybody. So Jesus told this parable to a group that were gathered around. He was at a dinner at a Pharisee's house. And so as they're eating this wonderful dinner, one of them in the group pipes up and says to Jesus, hey, won't it be great when we all are at God's feast together? Thinking it would just be the chosen few. Well, Jesus began to tell of this parable to show this person what it takes to be invited to the banquet and what it takes to show up at the banquet. And at the English camp, I knew, of course, that there were a number of participants, as you've already heard, that did not have a relationship with Jesus. And so when I told this parable, my emphasis was on the gracious invitation of the master. It was on the various excuses that people use to not accept that invitation from God. And it was on that last verse, that last frightening truth, that there will come a time for everyone when the invitation runs out. For those that do not accept that invitation, there will be a time when there's not another chance. Now, you should have seen after that message that night in our small group, I don't know about the other groups, but there was a lot of animated conversation about that. But this morning, as we close the service, I really want to just focus in on the gospel invitation that comes in the role of the servant. Because every single one of us, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a servant. This parable that Jesus told is a parable about us and our role as servants to tell people about this great banquet of God. And so I want to just give you three truths to kind of hold on to and remember as you leave the service today. Three observations from this parable. Here's the first, that we're sent by God with the message that he has taken care of everything and that he wants people to come to his heavenly banquet. This is the great message that we have to deliver. It's that God wants to do this. Really, Jesus was revealing God's heart here. He wanted the people around that table in that Pharisee's house to know the heart of God for all people. And that God has done everything needed for that banquet invitation, that there's nothing left for us to do. God has done it all. Now, of course, we know that as we give that message, come for everything is ready, the same message the servant had, it's because God paid dearly for that invitation by sending his own son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. That's why the invitation is open to all. That's why the invitation is free to all, because of what Jesus did, the price he paid with his own death on the cross. And so the invitation is given, and when we go with that invitation to say, this is God's heart, he desires everybody to be at that feast in his heaven, and he wants you there, that's how much he loves you. And you don't have to bring a thing to the table. You don't even have to bring a side or a salad or dessert like you usually have to do at a potluck dinner, right? No, it's all prepared for you. And that's what Jesus describes. And that's the beautiful message and invitation that we get to give to others. God's desire, God's heart And God's prepared it all. Here's the second thing, is that we're sent by God with this invitation in spite of negative responses. Jesus clearly puts that into the parable, right? It's the hard part of this, but the reality is some people choose to decline God's invitation. We see that just as much as Jesus saw that in his day. Slava sees that. Alina sees that in Minsk, just as we see it right here in North Georgia. Some people come up with excuses why they can't accept God's invitation. And you almost, did you catch a little bit of Jesus' humor here in these examples and these excuses that he talks about in his story? He says, I bought a field and I need to go look at it. Right, really, you think about that, right? I bought this field sight unseen, apparently, and now I'm going to go look at it? Go stare at my field? Or the next one, I bought these oxen, I have to go try them out. Really, you'd rather walk behind a cow than to come to this great banquet? Or, I just got married and I cannot come. Well, if you got married, then bring your spouse too. You know, all these are frail excuses. And I think Jesus intentionally makes them frail because that's the case. When we decline God's gracious invitation, it really makes no sense. But that the excuses, they did upset the master. Jesus tells that in the parable. It's upsetting to God when people decline his grace. But it doesn't stop him. It doesn't stop him from extending grace, right? He continues to send the servant out. And so that's our lesson. It says it doesn't matter how people respond. If they decline God's offer of grace and forgiveness, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. You go on to the next person. That's what happened in the parable. The master sends the servant out. Well, then go find somebody else because God's invitation is open to all. Keep sharing the gospel no matter how people respond. And here's the last, the third. We're sent by God to find the broken and the distant and to compel them to come to his banquet. You notice how Jesus describes that? He says, go find the poor, go find the lame. Go find those who are hurting, who are struggling, who are disenfranchised. Find those that nobody else will invite to a banquet, and you invite them. That's God's heart, too. And then he says at the end, go out to the roads and the country lanes and go as far as you need to go. That's the Great Commission, right? Go to the ends of the earth and find those who need to come to my banquet. So for us at Trinity, that's Honduras, that's Egypt, that's China, and this summer, that was Belarus. Go to places where the gospel is needed and invite them. And so God sends us with this compelling invitation. It's a gracious invitation, but it's a compelling invitation that we should be eagerly urging people to respond to this invitation from God. And as we close this service today, I'd like to just do that with a time of prayer, and then we're going to sing a song kind of based off this parable about the table. And as we pray, I'd like to ask you to do this. One is we're just going to pause for a moment of silent prayer. Pray as we've already been praying in the service for those 18 who were at the English camp with us who do not know Jesus. Some of them are on their way, some are getting closer, some are responding and listening, some are not. I'd like us to pray for them, just silently. But then also add in one other personal element. Pray for somebody in your life, somebody that comes to mind that you know doesn't know Jesus. Somebody that needs to hear that invitation. Somebody who may need to hear that invitation from you. And pray for that person. Pray that that person would listen and respond. Pray that that person would come to Jesus. Pray that that person would be at that heavenly banquet one day. So let's just bow our heads in silence. Ask the team to go ahead and come on up and just in silent prayer for a moment, and then I'll pray and then we'll sing. Lord God, you hear these prayers that we're offering right now from all corners of this room, praying for those who are at our English camp who do not yet know you as Savior, and we're asking, Lord, that you would continue to show your grace to them, continue to draw them, continue to woo them, continue to send people into their lives with the message of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would continue to use Slava and Alina and their church to love on these people and love them to you. Lord, I pray for a responsiveness. I pray that they would give their hearts to you, that we would see them around your banquet table in heaven one day. And Lord, I pray for those names we've mentioned in prayer in these last few moments who we know, people right here, people are part of our families, are in our neighborhoods, in our work setting, people that we know, people that we come in contact with who don't know you as Savior yet. Lord, we pray for their salvation. We pray that they would respond to your invitation, that the excuses would fall away, and that they would find their way to your table and know the beauty and the wonder and the glory of being in relationship with you. And Lord, we thank you. Thank you for that great invitation that we've received. Those in this room today who know you as Savior, who have accepted that invitation, Lord, we have that promise, that assurance, and that hope that we will be with you one day in person at your great banquet table. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for the cross that makes that table possible for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.